It's trash day, I'm putting you out, it's trash day. Putting you out, it's trash day. Putting you out of my mind. It's trash day, I'm putting you out, it's trash day. I'm putting you out, trash day. I'm putting you out of my mind. Now I'm gonna clean up, now I'm gonna clean up, now I'm gonna clean up the house. I'm taking all your garbage, taking all your garbage, taking all your garbage.
Hello! No, welcome to Can't Crush.
I was trying to do it. Oh, man, you are in bad shape over there this morning.
I am. There's no doubt about it. And forewarning, welcome to Can't Crushers. This is not sickness. This is a true sickness. This is a wrestling fan sickness throat today because I was in an event last night. And I lost my shit the whole night. I'm Mark DeMarc. He's laughing at me. He's Sir Michael Jenks. Oh, my God. First, let me do the PSA, Jenks.
Do it.
If you don't have the IWC Network, get there. It's $9.99 a month. And watch what happened last night. Legit train wreck. A triple threat tag team title match, TLC, tables, ladders, chairs. In this main event, there was ladders thrown into the crowd. There is a 300, yeah, see, I didn't tell you everything. There was a 300-pound man thrown through four tables. Somebody had a hole in his head just dripping blood from minute one of the match. Shit went down. A woman got fucking straight up pile drive to hell.
Ugh.
I lost my voice probably last night at 7:01, and the event started at 7 o'clock. I barely screamed at the main event. The IWC Network for only $9.99 a month, guys. If it's just for that match last night, the whole card last night, it's worth it. But then you get all the Britt Baker and Wardlow stuff and CM Punk and John McChesney and da-da-da-da. You get a ton of stuff, 20 years of stuff, for $9.99 a month. Jenks, you're going to carry this show.
That might be a good thing and a bad thing. We'll see what happens. But so you've got the wrestling fan sickness.
Yeah.
It's not from Pitt winning the ACC title.
Which I listened to on the way home as well then.
Did you?
I did.
Were you screaming in the car? Probably not. But
I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, oh my God. Well, it sounds like you had a fun night and fun week.
I did. It's just Saturday. The rest of the week. This yesterday started, Jenks, by the way, I forgot to tell everybody this. Yesterday started at 4:30 in the morning for me.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't because I had to work or anything. This Wednesday Spotlight Show is brought to you by Australia.
Okay.
16-hour difference. So when I set up to do the interview, I had to wake up at 4:30 because we were doing the interview at 5 our time, which is 9 p.m. her time.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, we had different, completely different realms of the spectrum there with Nikki Nitro from Australia, who's going to be coming to the States, by the way. I'll ruin some of the interview, and doing some stuff with OVW.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. By the way, I get her to sing on the show. We find out what fanny pack means in Australia. So, yeah, it's definitely not a listen to by kids. The explicit thing is always there on our content, but this one it's pretty cool. And we find out that koala bears get drugged up.
On what?
Gum trees.
Gum trees?
Yeah.
Oh man, I gotta listen now.
And I'm not gonna ruin anymore. It's unbelievable what they do. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Yes. So I can't wait for this.
That spotlight will be out on Wednesday. And I have a crackly voice on that as well, due to the fact that I woke up at 4:45, had a cup of coffee, and went. I never do interviews that early in the morning, but it was 9 o'clock at night for her. I mean, what could I do? Yeah. Say, hey, do you want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I would be doing it at 9? Yeah. So, yeah. She was getting ready for bed, this, that, and the other thing. So yesterday was a long day, a 22-hour day. Thrown in with blood and guts and everything. And an ACC championship.
Yeah. And here you are. This is like going to be your Jordan game. Your Jordan free game. Just pulling it together here. You're going to pull it out of your ass and make it work.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, Spot, we are recording a little bit early because my wife wakes me up with a text, don't forget Ethan has a class today. Well, you have to know that Ethan has a class today to forget.
Is that how that works? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's my week in a nutshell. Congratulations to Pitt, my alma mater. I'm really pumped about that. They're heading to the Peach Bowl now. We'll find out who they play. Jenks, your team looked rough.
Well, I knew it was happening. They played horrid against Utah 2 weeks ago, so I figured it was going to be the same. And it was. So it was not surprising. Friday night was a nice night of drinking. Got pain away. But yeah, they looked rough. They're out of the playoff. They're probably getting a nice bowl. They might. I'm not sure what bowl they're going to fall into. But they'll at least get a decent bowl. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I was excited for Pitt. I was also watching the Baylor-Oklahoma State game yesterday, which was actually very good. The final stretch by Oklahoma State, where they missed it by like a half a yard. It was literally inches, Mark. I don't know if you saw the clips or not, but it was literally inches. That was probably the most excited I've been for a conference championship game in God knows how long. So that was a pretty good ending to that. If you get a chance, watch that clip.
Oh, I will. Trust me. As I'm editing this and dying later on, I need to catch up on some college football. I did see, and man, I was high. This is going to be a little bit of college football today too, guys. I was so high on Georgia, and they pissed me off. But by the way, I also got a text, don't forget to feed the dogs because I left work early. So the dogs are now high on drugs, I mean dog food, because they just woke up with me too. So this is a complete shit show, guys.
Meanwhile, my dogs passed out in the living room.
Oh, good.
Occasionally bark at some point, but
Georgia just let me down. I thought this was going to be the year. I really did. God damn you, Georgia.
Well, first of all, I had the feeling Bama was going to fucking win this game. Georgia was too hyped. And by too hyped, I meant by everybody on TV.
Right.
I knew Saban was going to find a way to win that game. And he did. So now the playoff is it was completely busted yesterday. I think Georgia's still going to be in it.
But now they're number four.
At four, three or four. I don't think they give Cincinnati the three seed.
No.
I think they're gonna give Cincinnati the four, and they have to play either Michigan or Bama. Because you know they're gonna put Bama up at two.
Right.
One or two. So
well, you also don't want to rematch. I was gonna ask you, so you essentially asked the question I was gonna ask you. I have Michigan one, I have Bama two. That means Georgia would be three, and we get that same matchup next week, two against three, and then Cincinnati plays Michigan, which then essentially you're going to have Michigan against Alabama, because I don't see the three or four seed beating one or two. Do we get another rematch next week of Georgia-Alabama? I don't want it. Well, not next week, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I
don't want it either, but here's the problem with it. If you put them in two separate games, I think we get it in the national title game.
Right.
So, I mean, I would love to see Georgia-Bama, whether it's 1-4 or 2-3, happen in the semifinals versus the national championship game. Do I think they're going to do it that way? No. I think they're going to make Bama 1 because they beat Georgia. And then Michigan's 2, Georgia 3, Cincy 4, because I don't think they give Cincy a boost.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll see. That's actually, I'm going to have 2 TVs going tonight, and we'll jump into that, Jinx. I'll have 2 TVs going tonight because I want to see how they shake down the whole college and what happens.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can do a somewhat of a pseudo bet pool of once all the bowls are released, we pick the winners of the bowls. Because we did start one of your first episodes talking majorly about college football, and we'll just pick the bowl winners between us the whole way through.
It.
Yeah. I mean, even the Can Crusher Outback shit bowl that we sponsor. Yeah.
I was hoping for that one. We got to pick them all.
We have to pick them all.
Can't leave out the Can Crusher shit show
bowl. So we'll pick that as well. And also on the TV tonight will be probably my first time back in a long time, NXT TakeOver War Games.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going on. I'm not even going to pull it up on the computer. It's War Games. So the match itself has been one of my favorite matches since Dusty and Nikita and the Road Warriors and everything like that. But you have some insight on it, right?
Yeah. So really the War Games match, men's match, is very much old versus new school, apparently. So Ciampa, Gargano, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight, weirdly enough, versus Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Tony D'Angelo, and Grayson Waller. I'm not too hyped about this match. First of all, LA Knight's just brand new to NXT, so he doesn't seem old school to me. And the rest of these guys, this match just feels kind of forced together a little bit. I'm not a fan of it. Like, the women's War Game match, I'm all for this. It's Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, Cora Jade, Kaylee Ray versus Toxic Attraction and Dakota Kai. That makes perfect sense, and I think that's going to be a banger match. The men's one, they're going to do a lot of good shit in it, but it just doesn't have the story like you normally see with a War Games match.
I think just that itself is you're going to see the new go over the old. And
oh, yeah.
Because of everything that's going on, that it's NXT 2.0, and they want to push. I mean, come on, Bron Breakker is what they're pushing. Is what they're pushing, and he's going to be a champion before too long. And I should probably edit this today.
Yeah,
you're getting full effect of the wrestling fan mark. And side note to go back on that, we used to do IWC recaps and everything. I have come to terms that I'm not going to do recaps anymore. We have a friend podcast, The Eccentric Section, that is going to do all those and kind of take over just doing IWC. We'll touch on it, and we'll have people from IWC come on, but we're not going to have that whole spotlight about doing it because I feel that there needs to be one wrestling that I still need to be a fan of and not critique, and that's going to be my IWC.
That's fair.
This is where I will lose my shit, and after every IWC event, I'll sound like this. But no, we'll still have people on from IWC, and we will still do IWC things. It's just not this time. Because the Eccentric Section actually came over, and we were chatting. They're like, "Are you doing a recap?" I'm like, "Not tomorrow." They're like, yeah, we aren't either." Da-da-da-da-da. So we worked something out. So yeah, we're going to kind of partner with them as well and be homeboys. We have been for a while, but all right, NXT. Yeah, I'm excited about the women's one now that you said, and I hope it's Toxic Attraction in Dakota Kai, first of all, because Dakota Kai has been one of my favorites since she was there.
Yeah.
She's been in these matches before, and I think that's going to be the show stealer of all.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's a lot of great talent in there. Just so you're aware, the advantage for the women's goes to Kylie Ray and Raquel Gonzalez's team.
Of course.
They won the ladder match. So I like it. I want to see where it comes up. I think that's the match of the night, the women's one. If we're doing predictions right now, I'll call that the match of the night. I'm not too familiar with Carmelo Hayes. I've seen a couple of his matches. They're pretty good. But I just feel like the women's war game match is going to steal the show, especially with Io and Dakota in it.
Do we know, are they making that the main event? Or is it going to be the men's?
I think it's going to be the men's. I haven't seen anything yet, but if my gut's telling me it's probably going to be the men's.
Okay.
I feel like personally for the men's, Bron Breakker is going to just be the last man in, and he's just going to tear people apart. It has that feeling like they would do that to build him up even further.
Yeah. Yeah, from what I read and what I see of clips and everything, this is his show, his division, his, you know, organization to run here in the near future.
Yeah.
Staying on NXT a little bit, Jinx, and throwing this at you without letting you know, I did see that they're in talks with Kyle O'Reilly. They kind of still want to keep him there, which, for Kyle, I feel bad. Like, he's seen all his homeboys over in AEW doing their thing. Does Kyle stay? I don't want him to.
I don't want him to either. I mean, it's going to have to be a hefty boatload of money, I think, to keep Kyle there. But here's the thing about it. They've already lost Adam Cole to AEW, which was given because of Britt Baker and just his friends were there. But that was already a major loss. You have Johnny Wrestling that only extended his contract 1 week to pretty much just do this match, it feels like.
Right.
And they're probably going to lose him, and I can't see him going anywhere past AEW. AEW is going to swallow him up. I don't think he's going to Impact or anything. You get Kyle O'Reilly. They have to do something. I mean, Ciampa, I think, is stuck because of his neck injury. They prolonged his contract, I think I read, this week. So he's stuck for a pretty good time. O'Reilly, they're not going to let him go without fighting for it. But I don't know if Kyle stays. There's not much for him in this new format of NXT 2.0, my opinion.
No. On the same aspect, I still like calling him Eli Drake. I wonder if he's shooting himself in the foot now, too. Maybe not an AEW guy, but maybe a back to Impact guy, or where he was the king shit at NWA. And we're going to talk a little bit about NWA as well. He was the king shit there. And I don't know, like NWA to me now over the last couple months is getting back to, and we haven't covered it a lot, but it's getting back to pre-pandemic. Because there was some time that I'm like, oh, NWA is rough. And it's rougher to watch now because people don't want to pay that $4.99 a month to watch a weekly show. But it's getting there. But before we get there, so do you think Eli Drake is kind of like, man, shit, I'm stuck in this new format too?
I think so. I think he probably is not happy with it. I don't know how long his contract was worth off the top of my head, but I think he's kind of shooting himself in the foot here. I think he thought, and I think a lot of these people, at the beginning of the year, NXT looked completely different than what it has turned out to be, and it made sense for him to sign. I was excited when he signed, but since the shift over to 2.0, it's kind of turned into something that it's not what anybody wanted it to be or anybody wanted to deal with, except for Vince McMahon. But he's probably shooting himself in the foot right now.
Yeah, not even at the beginning of you. We can say like 3 months ago, NXT was WWE's brand that everybody, you didn't miss Tuesday nights or when it was on Wednesday nights, or you didn't miss it.
Exactly.
Now you don't watch it.
Yeah, because it's thrown to the wayside. It seems overdone. It's over the top to Vince McMahon's liking, and it's just not what it was. The chapter has ended, and I think this is going to be the final nail in the coffin tonight of that. That previous version of NXT that we all know and love and with all of our hearts, it's gone after tonight. Because this new group, everybody that's new is going to win and go over. And I think it's just putting to bed the old guard.
Yeah. This is the nail in the coffin to the black and gold brand of NXT.
Exactly. Exactly.
So Hard Times 2 was, there was a ton of wrestling last night, by the way. And I know every weekend, yes, there is a ton of wrestling. But to me, there was a ton of high spot wrestling, you know, because NWA Hard Times 2 was last night. And not breaking down the card, nothing really changed. Murdoch won. Mickey James kept the title. Tag team title stayed. All titles stayed. But they had some new people pop in, kind of feeding for new storylines. And the first one I want to talk about is Dirty Dango's there. How about that, Jenks?
Yeah.
You excited for Dango on NWA?
I was wondering where he was going to poop up. Yeah, pop up. Oh, boy, man. I don't even have a bad voice. But I was wondering where he was going to pop up at. I'm kind of excited to see him back in the fold of wrestling. See what happens with him.
He looked good. He was on the WrestleCade card that I watched last weekend. He looked good on that. Like, he didn't lose anything for being off for 90 days or anything like that. But he came out Dirty Dango, and I'm like, all right, whatever. It works, because he's very much a heel. So to see him go to NWA... I've always been an NWA fan since it came back and everything. I just like that old school kind of vibe, and he does fit there. He's dastardly, check. That he goes there. But there was somebody else was a big surprise, Jenks. Who attacked Murdoch at the end of the show?
Your internet champion, Matt Cardona. Yeah. I cannot. He just seems to be popping up wherever he wants, and good for him. But, God, yeah. So now Matt Cardona's in the running for the 10 pounds of gold.
He's living the Cody Rhodes dream.
He is.
Remember when Cody popped up everywhere, and then essentially, and I will say this wholeheartedly all my life, between him and Nick Aldis, they put the NWA back on watch. When they had their little stick there. Cardona, friends with Cody, we know that. And he came out of the WWE lackluster.
Right.
Look what he's done in, again, the last 6 months with GCW and popping up in Impact and popping up here. His name's everywhere.
Yeah.
So he's going to make huge money again at some point.
Oh, yeah.
He's now, by the way. Name.
Is what?
He's making huge money now, by the way, with his podcast and, you know, So I'm excited. I'd love to see him with the 10 pounds of gold. And he gets married here in like 3 weeks anyway, so.
Yeah, that is coming up fast. I mean, do you think he takes the 10 pounds of gold off Murdoch, though?
Yes.
You do? Okay.
I do. I really do. No disrespect to Murdoch. I think that was a great transition from Aldis holding it 900 million years, kind of the Bruno run, to Murdoch, the everyday man, giving him a nice – and he's had it for a while. But you need that hot title. You need that son of a bitch. And Cardona has become that son of a bitch.
Top-notch show today, guys. Top-notch show.
Yeah. So I'd love to see Cardona win it. I do. Because then there's so much more. I mean, then you get Aldis back in the running again. And, you know, Aldis right now is the new Ric Flair for me in the NWA. Like, he's always going to be around that title.
Yeah. That's fair. I guess you got a point with Cardona taking it. I just want to see him land somewhere more permanent. But I guess if he's got a short window... Maybe they just give him the 10 pounds of gold. But I guess that's the good thing about the forbidden doors. They're wide open, and you can go wherever you want now. And it kind of makes it a little more exciting at this level of competition, in my mind.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to show up where.
Well, NWA doesn't do a pay-per-view every month, so I'm sure they're doing today and tomorrow, meaning Sunday and Monday, and maybe even Tuesday, they're going to do their TV tapings for like the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
And then, you know, Cardona could be on his way to go pop up wherever he wants, go get married on New Year's. And then, I don't know, say February, they have their next Valentine's Massacre or whatever the hell they're going to call it. Boom, Cardona wins it. They do their tapings again for a while. And then he drops it in, I don't know, June or July because they've already done it. Yeah. I think that would be a great run for him. And to have Matt Cardona as the NWA champion, I'd be all right with it. I really would.
So let me ask you this, because it's not only the NWA title he could be in the running for. It was announced he's in the Impact running.
Right.
And the running for the Impact title. Does he become a double champion and have the Impact in NWA at the same time?
Because we see that Impact and AEW kind of not working as much anymore. Now, is this a way for these two to brand together and get both of them get more eyes on? I don't know. Do we see it because AEW just did a double champion? I don't know. I would say Cardona wins one, but not the other.
Well, in this instance, I think it helps Impact in NWA. And, I mean, they have a lot of ties between each other to begin with. So I honestly think it would make sense if you're going to put one on Cardona, you'd put the other on him.
Now, I wouldn't be upset. Don't get me wrong. Yeah,
no, I wouldn't be either. I think, in my mind, I think they could do it. I think they would do it. Now, it could be like a quick turnaround, like you were mentioning. They do their TV taping, so he'll have it for 6-8, whatever it be, between pay-per-views. But I think they run it for a while. It's not going to be similar to what Kenny Omega did with the AEW Impact. That'll never be the case. But I think they do that for a while. It makes sense to me.
Yeah, I could see it. I really could. But my thoughts are, Jenks, and I'm going to keep stirring the pot with this because we don't know where we're going, so this will give us more time. Impact just had that. Like, you know, that was Impact's they're running the same storyline then. Are people going to say, oh, man, is that all Impact can do is that they have to partner and have a double champion?
Well, I think at this point, who does it benefit more? Does it benefit Impact more, or is it benefiting NWA more to have Matt Cardona as the dual champion?
I would think NWA.
Exactly. If I look at the Omega situation with it, it benefited Impact to have the AEW's world champion as their world champion, because you had that high caliber star in Kenny Omega. Now, I'm not saying that Matt Cardona is on the level of Kenny Omega or anything, and I'm not dissing Matt Cardona because I actually love him in the ring. But what I'm saying is I think it's a similar situation in which the Impact brand and their representative will help NWA out in the long run by being their champion. I think it makes total sense. I don't think it's a similar situation at all, just because of the two personas that we're talking about. Kenny Omega and Matt Cardona are totally different, and I think they can approach the storylines differently.
Oh, yeah, storylines completely differently. I agree. I agree. And, well, I guess Impact would give NWA the stroke, because at least, and this is no disrespect, they're on TV. Not as much TV as AEW, but a hell of a lot more than NWA. I think NWA took a hit going on the Fight Network because of having to, I know it's only $5 a month, but it's, you still have to get on an app. You have to pay that money for it, where Impact is at least on a third of the houses in, you know, the United States compared to NWA is not on anything where, I guess I liked NWA a lot better when it was on YouTube, but financially it doesn't make sense because you're not making any money on YouTube for NWA to be on it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, the only way they could have done that on YouTube is if somehow it got packaged into YouTube TV, but it didn't. But yeah, I have to agree. It's financially, it makes sense because you're going to bring viewers and hopefully drive up those numbers on the Fight Network. So on Fight TV, so that it brings people to watch the show and they pay that $5 a month. Will it increase it a lot? It remains to be seen. But I think Cardona is doing so much right now that it's going to be a hefty uplift in what they see in subscriptions if he becomes a world champion.
Oh, yeah. I would probably re-up mine again. Not lying. I probably would. So that's a little bit of everything. And I only know this one thing about Triple Mania was last night, right? Triple A Mania or whatever the hell they call it.
Yeah.
I did see FTR retained their championships over the Lucha Bros. But the caveat of all of this is they weren't managed by Telly last night. They were managed by Vicky Guerrero.
That is wild.
Right?
So, yeah, like, so I guess with that, is, what do you think caused them to make the switch? Maybe Tully doesn't have the relationship, but what do you think Vicky brought to it that they had Vicky bring them out and manage them?
Maybe just the clout that the Guerrero name has in AAA. I don't know. I mean, FTR's over wherever they go. Did they need a manager, essentially?
No, they didn't, but that's FTR's thing. They were that old school. They've gone back to the old school where they had a they have a manager bringing them through it. I would have loved to see Tully stay there, but Vicky kind of made sense for that. You're right. She has the clout, and she's a heel manager wherever she goes.
Yeah.
Yes, the Guerrero name has legacy, and it is loved and adored, but she's a heel manager, and people will boo her. And it might have given FTR a little bit extra heat for that fight.
Yeah.
Which might be something they need.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're so over that we use this phrase so much anymore when they're bad and they're over that they have the stone cold. You know, that you could be a son of a bitch murderer and you're still over. That's what FTR has right now. And maybe the Lucha Bros have lost a little bit in AAA because FTR is there. Not that they've lost a step or anything like that. Just the fandom is what I mean, because they were the number one team there. You know, the big pomp and circumstances, pops and all that. So, yeah, I don't know. FTR is the top notch team.
Yeah, completely agree. It's odd now because you have to use that stone cold metaphor, excuse me, a lot. MJF is the same way. He's so, people hate his guts, but they love him when he comes out because they know he's going to just have nuclear heat. They just love him being there. I think it speaks to, in this day and time, it's almost gone. I think you've talked about it, or a lot of people have talked about it, that heel persona and heat is gone because they do it so well now that people just like it. They like seeing the asshole come out and then getting ripped apart. I don't know. Maybe I just defined what a true heel is, and we're finally seeing that back. But people like the heels way more than they see baby faces. That's why you see Cody getting booed every week.
Yeah, and we'll get on that, because we'll get on that. Since this is going to be a shortened show, Jenks, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll touch on AEW, because you brought up two big names already. MJF, which is a true asshole, and Cody Rhodes, which, even in his hometown, is getting booed.
Yeah.
But what is that a good thing? I want to keep that there. Is that a good thing? Because, Jinx, I think I've been ahead of the curve for a long time. I've been an asshole my whole life. So I'm there. I'm that bad guy that people love to hate, right?
Yeah, yeah. You are the mark.
I am the mark. Shortened commercial, guys. Use our promo code at Collar and Elbow. It's Can Crushers. All one word, capital C in Can, capital C in Crushers. During this break, I'm going to go get some more orange juice to get this throat back up. Here comes Al Snow. And then when we come back, we'll dive into being an asshole on AEW.
Wrestling. A love and a passion we all share. I've started a wrestling brand. The wrestling brand. A brand founded on the aspects of wrestling. Two entities working together to create a product that connect emotionally for people everywhere. Collar and Elbow is the brand. Passion and love for wrestling is the drive. I am Al Snow, and this is Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand.
G'day, you're here with Nikki Nitro, listening to Can Crushes. You better follow me and you better respect me. Keeping it here with the Heartbreaker Heel. Take care.
Welcome back, Can Crushers Nation, to the podcast.
Good bring back.
Yeah, thank you. Tried to enunciate as much as possible there.
Well, that's because I'm not getting high at all today.
We saw that with the hello. The hello did not go well for you earlier.
Not at all. This is like being awake now for half an hour, essentially. This is like my fifth cup of orange juice, trying to get the cockles back to where they need to be. And they're you never hear Dave LaGreca on Busted Open having a true fandom like I do, right? You never hear him losing his voice. Maybe because he's smarter, he knows he's in the radio industry that you shouldn't scream like a raging idiot at events. Maybe that's why Sirius or Busted Open yet.
Hey, but you get excited. That's the point. That's the whole fandom. You get excited and you love it. I mean, I'm going to try to do that in the upcoming year here. Get Moochie from the 40-year dash, his son up back into wrestling here. So that's going to be my goal in the next year, I think.
Well, yeah, he's got a birthday today, right? Did you buy him some wrestlers?
Nah, not today. I bought him the superheroes today, but I'm going to start working in the wrestlers. I mean, his father only has a Bailey t-shirt that I bought him as a joke. And there's a long story behind that, but Moochie had an affection for Bailey for a while.
Who doesn't? And then,
yeah, right? And a Goldust figurine. So I need to up the ante here to get Dom back into wrestling, I think, to get Dom into wrestling here.
Moochie should take Dom then to Steel City Con next week in Pittsburgh. Goldust is going to be there signing.
Oh, see, that would be perfect.
That his first interaction with a wrestler, Goldust, is going to be there.
Oh, see, now I'm going to definitely tell him about that. Because why not? Why not take him to the city of Pittsburgh and see Goldust, see his idol, and have Dom see how much he loves Goldust?
Right?
I like it. That's a good idea.
That's like the passing, you know, since we're bringing up Pittsburgh, that's almost like my grandfather taking me to Pittsburgh to see Bruno Sammartino. Like the whole passing on of a generation of wrestling fans.
Oh, my God.
Moochie needs to make it happen.
I think he does. I'll work him over today at the birthday party, see what I can get.
We should be there to document it, too.
We should be.
This should be a whole docu-series of Moochie going to see Goldust. If this happens, he's got to paint his face.
Oh, completely agree. He's not going without the face paint. He does have a mask, a plastic mask, but...
That's not the same.
It's got to be full face paint.
Nice. You guys are off this week on 40-year dash, right?
We're off this week. Yeah, we'll record next week. So
yeah, you guys had a Cody update, and he did a little bit of a Texas trot, right?
He did a turkey trot. I joined him with it, and it was a fun time. Cold and wet, but it was a good time.
Miserable.
It wasn't as miserable as you'd think, to be honest. But it wasn't fun either. It wasn't the greatest time. So,
all right, let's dive in. Before we went to the pseudo break, essentially, we said about being an asshole. And we bring up MJF's name, my name, and a lot of other people's name. AEW for the week, Jenks. I enjoyed it. I'll leave it at enjoy. It wasn't what I had last night, but I enjoyed it. And we'll get there. We don't have to break down everything, but the very first two matches, I do have an issue with AEW this week.
Okay.
So you have Hangman come out on commentary. Completely makes sense. Okay, I'm all right with that. Then you have Danielson against number 5. And before we get into the match, the next match you have Punk against Moriarty, which Lee Moriarty, if you don't know, he's from Pittsburgh. He's one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. He needs no dues because he's that goddamn great, and you guys are going to learn to love him. My big thing about it is, why do you book Danielson's match and then Punk's match back-to-back? You've given everybody essentially what they want because... Trust me, there's people going to AEW just to see those two.
Yeah.
Just to see the, so you book them match one and match two, separate their matches. It's insignificant to anything going on, storylines and everything, but I wouldn't have their matches back to back. That's all I'm saying. Push Punk's back a couple, a little bit longer. You could have switched it with anything. You could have had Ruby and Statlander next or something, you know? There's so many other places that you could have just interchanged this match. Both great matches, though. Both great matches.
Well, both great matches. You know, now that you're saying that, I was looking back through the card and the rundown. And I didn't realize that it was the TBS championship match, Ruby versus Chris Statlander, and then it went right into the main event. I totally forgot that was the case. I would have separated those. So I think to your point, yeah, if they would have put Punk and Moriarty in between those two, that would have been fine. Or just like completely take off Darby and Sting versus the Gun Club. That would have been fine too.
That would have been fine too. Yeah.
I mean, I love that they did Sting and Atlanta and they hyped it up and that. That's great. I haven't been sold on that rivalry and the Gun Club being undefeated. That's kind of not in my wheelhouse right now. I couldn't believe that. But can I just say, I love that we're getting Johnny Hungy and Brian Danielson next week.
Yes.
In Long Island. I can't wait for that.
I am. I want to talk about this because I'm going to steal this from Busted Open. I have been listening to them a lot more, and whatever you could say, I'm marking out on them, and I am, because there's some things in the work that, you know, essentially, I don't want to say we're going to be competitors ever, but there's some things in the works here on Can Crusher Nation that we could be going to that same path. We'll just leave it at that. It helps all the podcasting networks that we're involved with. They were talking about on Tuesday, Nassau Coliseum, where AEW is going to be going, because somebody called in that worked at Nassau Coliseum, said there was about 3,500 people at Raw this week. They pushed everybody down into the bowl and said, this is where you're sitting. So go back and watch Raw. Those camera angles are tight. The only time that you see anything on the top is when Becky comes out. And then you see that it's completely empty. So the guys, like 35 to 4,000 people were there. Well, Bully did his notes, and he's like, I already see that 9,000 tickets are sold for the same arena in 2 weeks that AEW is going to be there. So they've already tripled what WWE's cost, sold. The caveat is, Jenks, when you think of WWE, where do you think is their big market? The Connecticut, the New York area. If they're not getting that much people, that many people, in their home, air quotes, area, there's an issue. There's legit an issue now saying, holy shit, that AEW's already, without even booking a match, has already outsold you 3-1.
Yeah. That's telling. I did not hear that Busted Open. Ah.
Yeah.
How do you respond to that? I mean, you can't, because I think that's just the way WWE is run now. Are they worried about what they're getting in the house? Obviously you are to some extent, but it doesn't seem like that's the main driver. And
WWE is now a TV brand. And I hate to say it like that. They only care about us on the other side of the TV. God, this is going to be a horrible episode on air.
But
they don't care about in-house. They don't.
So to that point then, Mark, my thought goes to then put it at a soundstage, except for your big shows.
Right.
Because if you're not going to care about the fans in there, then go back to the soundstage. You know what? Actually, now that you're saying that, it kind of makes me think that we did the Thunderdome. We did all of that. Just doing the Thunderdome in that has changed WWE's personality, and they've realized we don't need fans.
Yeah.
We can control what happens in the arena, and it kind of did a disservice to what professional wrestling was to WWE, because they have now realized that we can control the arena, we can control the sounds, we can do everything. So why not just keep it as a television product? And I wouldn't be surprised if we start seeing them on a soundstage or just book an arena for 6 months and do a Thunderdome again.
Yeah. I don't want to say they're losing money, but
oh, they're not.
Yeah. Essentially, they don't care about ticket sales. We're in our home base. We sell 4,000 tickets. All right, this is the product that you're getting.
Yeah.
We'll again, drinking game. We'll get to WWE. Dynamite was good. The MJF promo, again, nice. I don't want to say it was as big as the last couple. Nice, I'll put it as. What'd you think?
I didn't think it was his best one.
Yeah.
I wasn't too big on it, to be honest. I think their last one clearly overshadowed this one. Him coming out and using the tired old shtick of somebody just wants to get in a female performer's pants just didn't ring for me. I didn't think that was where it needed to go. He had so much other material to work with instead of that. So them going there was kind of like, MJ, that kind of killed it for me, that entire promo. But, I mean, they brought up some other good points, but it just seemed like it was not good, not their best work. Yeah. I did like the MJF vowing to be better than Brett in Canada, Piper in Portland, and Punk in Chicago. I will give him that. That was very good.
Yeah.
So
I was hoping you were going to bring that one up.
Yeah.
I
popped. I laughed for that one. I will say that.
What else do we have here? I love the Statlander and Ruby match. I do.
Yeah.
I didn't know where it was going to go. I thought, Statlander's going to get the win. Ruby's going to... No. I was actually shocked. Yeah. But I think the writing's on the wall what happens to Ruby next. I think she loses.
To Nyla?
Yeah.
See, I feel like they're going to give her the win against Nyla, but lose to Jade.
I think they're going to have Nyla win, since she was a pretty strong force as champion. Because then the win from Jade over Nyla excels Jade just a little bit more.
That's fair. My thought was Nyla could be the first championship defense to put her over. And they'd give Ruby that, like, sunshine, the ray of hope type thing in the tournament run. And then Jade would obviously just beat her for it. And then it would be Nyla versus Jade after that, without the tournament need. But I could see your way as well, as that almost that platform to step off them for Jade.
Yeah. Yeah. Either way, though, either way, we all are agreeing that this is Jade's title. Again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything. Nobody's stopping Jade. Jade's taking this title.
Yeah, and Thunder is going to lose to Jade via Britt or something. Like, I don't think...
Yeah.
Yeah, Jade's going to get the pin or the submission on her or something, but it's not going to be because Jade did it herself.
Oh, it's not going to be clean at all.
Yeah, yeah. All right, moving on to the Atlanta Street Fight. Holy shit.
Right?
I didn't expect this. I did not expect flaming tables. I did not expect... The downfall is, again, and I would have saw this, Cody had way too much gel on. Too much gel. His skin was falling off as soon as he took his jacket off. I would have probably done the same thing, though. I know I'm going through a table... Fucking put me in some type of bulletproof fire retardant suit or something.
Yeah.
But the match itself was like Andrade still came out as the winner in this match. Like he works so good.
No. But that just speaks to Andrade's talent.
Yeah.
He knew what he came out there to do and he exceeded all expectations. And by the way, before I realized what was going on, I was thoroughly confused at that point. Fucking gel peeling off of his back. I'm like, what the hell is going on with Cody Rhodes? And then the table came out and it got caught, set on fire. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense now. But yeah. And they were still on fire during the afterwards.
Andrade's chest was on fire, and Cody's arm was on fire.
Yeah, and his and Cody's pants were on fire at one point too. Still, and they finally got him out. But
I've never seen him use the Zippo brand lighter fluid. It's always been like it. So I wonder if that's like the wrong kind to use, because normally you see it and it goes out. Like once they fall on it, trust me, I don't know. I've never done it. I'm not superhuman or anything stupid like that. Shout out to him. I don't know if that's the kind you use, if there's different like chemical balances in it. I don't know if they're like, oh shit, we got the wrong kind. I just saw this fire lasting a lot longer than it's ever lasted before in ECW or, you know, New Japan or anything like that.
Right. Well, I mean, you saw the ref put out the fire on the table after the match because that was still burning. And that's a good point, Mark, because I don't think I've ever seen, and I think it's the chemical. I don't think they have, like in the industry, a defined set of lighter fluid that would work. It's whatever you can get, but I think to your point, there's probably like a generic one that goes out almost immediately, or maybe there's just too much on the table.
Your brandy unleashed everything.
She went balls to the wall, dumping that shit on the table.
I'm killing my husband here tonight. Here we go.
Yeah, well, seriously, you know, I would have thought as a significant other that's about to light a table on fire so your husband can jump through it. You would kind of step back, but I'm wondering if he said to her in the back, just light the fucker. I don't care. Just light the son of a bitch. But Cody's going to be, they're both going to be in some sore shape because Cody had burns.
Oh, yeah.
After the match. And they looked about second degree burns, which is not, that is not a fun burn to have. I've had that before. Those are just terrible. Some would say that they're worse than third degree in pain wise, because third degree, you kind of just kill the skin at that point. So second-degree burns, if that's what he's got, he's in for a rough couple weeks, for sure.
I was reading Thursday morning about some people saying, oh, he botched it, he went through it more than Andrade did. Listen, this is where I'm calling out all wrestling fans. Get a ring, light a fucking table on fire, and go through it. Let's see what you do. I don't care. At some point, you're a son of a bitch and human. You know what's coming. Do you put yourself in it, or do you put somebody that you're trusting? He's already has Andrade's life in the hand by the move that he's doing. So, you know, if I'm doing this to you, Jinx, I have to make sure I don't break your head. I don't do this. I don't do that. It looked great. But if you're going to break it down, yeah, Cody went through most of it. I don't care, though. It's a goddamn TV show, essentially. Look at all stunts on movies and everything. Stop. It did what it needed to do. It was perfect. In my end, it was perfect. If you're going to bitch about it, fans, go do it. You go do it and get it spot on. You can't.
No, and to that point, Mark, the move that they chose to do would have put Andrade's head and face in the fire. He had to protect him. Whatever you want to believe, on any wrestling program, your face is money, okay? And your livelihood comes from from looks, anything along those lines. You have a distinct look. I'm not saying it's because you're beautiful human beings. What I'm saying is you have a distinct look, and that's what sets your character apart from others. And it's your livelihood. Cody Rhodes, that was probably the safest way they could have performed that move at all. And that's probably why Cody was overwhelmed with gel and it was peeling off, because he knew he had to take almost the brunt or all of it to protect Andrade in that case. In my mind, Cody was being the professional in that moment because he had to protect the person he was working with to do the stunt. So I think, if you're complaining about the spot and saying he botched it, you're full of shit. You don't know what you're talking about at that point, because he was clearly protecting Andrade so that Andrade did not get seriously injured by the move.
Yeah, his beard catches on fire.
Yeah.
With the amount of liquid that Brandy put down there, we're having a different talk today. We're having a different talk.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, Jenks, this match has made it into my match of the year candidates.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's how over I was in this match.
I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot.
Rampage, on the other hand, it did what it needed to do. I'll leave it at that. I like the Tony Nese Sammy match. I'd like to see more of these guys going at it.
Yeah.
I do. Jade's got two moves. And I know we just said she's going to be the TBS champion. She needs to get something else, though. She needs a little bit more. And maybe when we see Nyla and her go at it, you know, we need something more from Jade.
Yeah.
What else? FTR and Pac and Penta. It is what it is. Essentially.
Yeah.
Rampage was good, don't get me wrong. But I almost wonder if... get ready, because I'm going to contradict myself a little bit. I wonder if AEW has too many storylines going that they just... They're trying to pack everything into 3 hours that they have. Can you pull back and let some fester a little bit?
You could. I think they're doing that in some extent with, like, because the Thunder Brit one is there. It's only simmering. It's not full flames right now. I think there's some storylines that are kind of on the back burner, but still relevant. I get what you're saying here. I think you have to start using Elevation or Dark, though, to kind of promote some of these storylines. Yes, not as many people watch those shows. But I think it would help kind of put the storyline over some more, and you could use it as like a recap on Dynamite or Rampage to kind of help continue to build things up.
And I brought up that point to reference back to the very first match that we saw on Rampage, on Dynamite. I'm pissed that we're already getting Hangman and Danielson in 2 weeks. This was supposed to be... when we said it, Jenks, for a while, to run through all of the Dark Order. He's going through four of them, and they're calling it a day. Like, why can't we get him against 10? We wanted to see Danielson against 10.
Right.
we're getting Danielson against Johnny Hungy, and then we're getting Danielson against Hangman at Snowball Fight, or Winter's Coming, or whatever the hell they're calling it. Yeah.
Winter's Coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I get why they're doing it, but I think they should, in my mind, if you advertise the bracket, the tournament that Danielson won and that Omega has won, it should be advertised as the winner gets the shot at Winter is Coming instead of a future AEW title shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's where the title shot's actually taking place. I'm okay with... I wish he would have ran through all of the Dark Order. It didn't happen, but he's gone through the bigger names in the Dark Order. I mean, Alan Angels, you could argue, might not be the biggest name in the Dark Order, but he's gone through some of the bigger names with Johnny Hungy coming up next.
Yes.
In my mind, it's still going to be a great match. I just can't see Paige losing the title this soon.
I can't.
But maybe he is. I don't know. Or there's a way that... you know, Danielson finds a way to either scurry away with the title or finds a way to complain about the end of it. Like, one of the Dark Order came out or something like that. So it prolongs the series a little bit further.
And that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for this gets prolonged until February.
Yeah. I guess we're going to find out what's going to happen next week. Maybe it does. The match itself does not happen.
And I'd be all right with that, too.
Yeah.
All right. You have anything else on AEW you want to bring up? My God, my voice is just going to shit even more.
You're good. Rampage, I'll just give props to Sammy and Tony. That was a great match. I kind of like how they're bringing in people to fight for the TNT title, but it's making me wonder who's going to be the one to step up from the internal roster, because I don't feel like it's going to be a surprise winner of it or somebody that's just debuting. But we'll see what happens with that. I'm just curious what they're going to do with that title going forward.
Yeah.
That's about all I have.
I don't want to see Sammy lose it yet because, you know, I have a big crush on him. So I want him to have it for a while. And Eddie Kingston. He's like, hey, man, Jericho, this doesn't have anything to do with him, but I'm ready to kick you guys' asses.
Yeah. But now they attack Jericho.
Yeah.
So but he didn't care. Essentially, but he didn't.
So
they're forcing Jericho into it. I would love to see that rift between Jericho and Kingston now too. It's not even a rift. It's gonna be an unlikely alliance, and then they're gonna go to blows on each other because I feel like it's not gonna end well.
No, it's not. It's not. All right, quick break again, and then we'll come back and cover WWE briefly. We don't have much to say, and we're against the wall on time.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Duke the Dumpster Drosy, and you are listening to the Can Crushers podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. I can't top the original Can Crusher bringing us back, so we're just going to leave it there. So welcome back to the Can Crusher podcast.
You did a great job all week, Jenks. Let me just say, bringing us to and from, because if people are going to listen to this top-notch show after the real intro, thank you. Thank you, Can Crusher Nation.
You guys are saints and love to have dedication that is unmatched.
Right? Yeah. I can only imagine what's going to happen on the other podcast that I do, the 40 year dash. The Martinez.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're going to do that one?
Yeah, hey, I'm going to do that one. Week. Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to get in trouble for sounding like this because my wife has not heard me yet today. So, yeah. What are you doing? Why are you doing that?
Because I was having fun.
Yeah. I'm a 45-year-old jackass. Raw Jenks is kind of raw. I feel only two things came out of Raw this week. One, Kevin Owens is in the title match.
Yeah.
And what was the other? Oh, Miz and Edge return. And WWE actually acknowledges AEW.
Yeah, they did.
And Becky. They did. And Becky. I know you want to talk about Becky.
Yeah. Well, we can start with Edge and Miz. I mean, they did acknowledge Miz. What was said about the Miz on AEW and that. I guess this is the rivalry I didn't know I wanted.
Right? I'm all right with it because it's a professional wrestler against an entertainer. In my books, yeah.
I like this. You know, and it's something that, to be honest, Miz was around when Edge was on the tail end of his career originally, and I don't remember them ever fighting or having they probably had a one-off match here and there, but this is kind of exciting for me. I'm pumped about something on Raw, which hasn't happened in a while besides Liv and Becky and Seth and that, but...
And it's two good talkers, unlike me today. Yeah. Like, Edge can cut a promo, and we know Miz is... get ready, I could get heel heat on this. Miz is one of the greatest talkers in the business out there. You know, I'm not saying he's Roddy Piper or Savage, but he can carry a mic better than Roman Reigns or, you know, some of the faces that have been at the WWE. So... If we're going to get this back and forth banter for a little bit before we get a match, which I despise the day one, great. No shit. So I want a pay-per-view at the end of the year, then day 365.
Yeah. Oh, they should. Well, maybe that's what they were planning on for next year. That's why they canceled this month's pay-per-view. But I have a rant for day one, probably. That's percolating, but we won't go there.
Okay.
I like it. I think this adds a lot of substance to that day one card.
I do too.
If they're going there. So if that's when the match is going to happen, I can't wait for it.
Yeah. We'll save Becky for last on Raw. Jenks, do we see a title change at day one between Seth, Kevin Owens, and Big E?
Yes.
And who's going to
take it? God, I don't know. So... My thought is this. It's going to depend on KO's contract status. But I think it's going to be Seth right now.
I do too. I really do. And it's... I said this last week or the week before. I don't know if this was Big E's run that's going to solidify him that he actually had a championship. He's been laid out way too much as a champion. He's been putting more people over. And I know, yes, you do that as a champion in non-title matches, just that and the other thing. But he's done it differently. Like, he doesn't look powerful as a champion. Raw went off the air with him dead in the ring, and they were focused on Seth and Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know. But, Jenks, you said it. There's actually three things I'm excited for on Raw right now. I'm all right with this Kevin Owens, Big E, and Seth Rollins thing. Edge and Miz. And, of course, Becky and Liv. Yeah. But I don't see Liv getting it. I don't now. I thought for a moment, I don't see her getting it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I was hoping, but now it just seems like it's another bump in the road for big-time Bex, which is okay. Maybe it's not Liv's time, but because you see that with other performers that have done it in the past. They've had that first title match. It's a lot of hype for it, but then they end up coming up short on it, and it just brings them back to the forefront that they have to keep building themselves back up to get it. I love the promo. I love the fire on it. It's going to be a good match either way you slice it between the two. And I'm looking forward to it. Does Liv get it? No, but her day will come. It's just not, I think it's next week for the match. So it's just not next week, or I guess tomorrow now, but
yeah, it's
not tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Less than 24 hours. Yeah.
Is. Yeah.
So let me wrap this in to you.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm trying.
What a freestyle.
Yeah. Who comes to the forefront for the women then after Liv loses? Are we back to Bianca?
I feel like it's going to be Bianca at some point. I think it's Mania. I still think it's Mania. I don't know who's going to be the interim. I think Rhea might come up for Bex here over the next couple months, but I think Bianca's going to ultimately be the one to take it from Bex.
All right. Anything else on Raw that made you go, wow?
Nothing really. I mean, props to RK-Bro and their shenanigans still, but that was about it.
Yeah, essentially, yeah, that was it. I was very pissed watching Raw, and they announced, this is a technicality, they announced the five-woman match at the end.
Oh, yeah.
And then instantly, they had the picture. Like, the match was just announced. Go to a break. Go to, like, it wasn't even out of Becky's mouth. Go to a break. And then have the match. Have them trying to find people or something. Extend this over the show. We've seen other things extended over the show for a long time. They just, here's the teams. Holy fuck. Like, yeah. Stop. We know. We're wrestling fans. We know how everything works. Keep us in that aura a little bit.
Keep the suspense going just for once. But
yeah.
They never do. They never will.
Never. SmackDown, we get Brock back. We get Sammy losing his title shot. And we get Brock as the number one contender already.
Kind of figured that would be the case. Hey, I give props to Sammy versus Brock. Not versus Brock, but their back and forth was kind of hilarious to me. And I thought that was kind of an entertaining way to bring back Brock was with Sami Zayn.
I saw a meme last night as I was kind of looking at it. It was like when your boy comes to the bar with you and says, "Hey, man, I don't have any money, but can we get wings too?" And Brock, you know, has his arm around him and everything. So I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good one. We kind of figured that the Sammy title match was going to be a joke at some point.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense. So I like the way they approach it. So that was a good way. It was kind of different for WWE to approach it in the way they did. And I'm really becoming a fan of the face Brock Lesnar here. And I think the universe is buying it as well.
We are. I don't think I've ever wanted to say I'm glad that Brock's back. It's him being, he's a little corny. And think like Santino Marella corny or anything like that. The whole lumberjack look still is different for him. So it mm-hmm. seems like it's a different Brock Lesnar out there.
It does. It does. And it suits him quite well. And I'm enjoying it. I like that. See, and that's the whole thing with like a different character change. It's just changing your appearance up a little bit turns you into a whole different person in the eyes of wrestling fans. It's crazy how that works.
Yeah. Sometimes you have a voice and sometimes you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Other than that, I'm ready for Sonya to get in the ring. I need Sonya in the ring. This is a storyline in my book that has gone a little bit too long. Just get back in the ring. Because I've always waved Sonya's flag anyway.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, she's an amazing talent. She's going to be WWE Women's Champion at some point. I don't know when. I like the heel role official for her approach, but I just want her to be more in the ring more often than not. That means probably sacrificing that role. So I kind of want to see her finally just become the full-time performer again at some point. But that's wishful thinking, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Jenks, as I said, we're up against the up against the time. Anything that you want to bring up real quick?
You know, the one thing that I saw as backlash for SmackDown was Pat McAfee making comments about Nia Jax and Eva Marie about future endeavoring them into the stairs. There was a lot of backlash on there. I get the timing of it, and I get why it kind of offended some people in that. I didn't take it in the offensive way, and maybe I'm not looking at it properly, but you could make the same argument for the Acclaimed making the joke about Johnny Ace future endeavoring people when he came out to cut a promo against Bryan Danielson. So I get it's different that it's from the WWE, but I don't understand the backlash that's come out of that.
Yeah, maybe that's something that we take a note down, and because I didn't see that since I was in an event last night. I don't know if you guys can understand that I was in an event last night.
I can't.
No.
I had no idea.
No. So maybe we'll look at that next week a little bit deeper as I dive into that. And then next week is when we'll start announcing the Crushy Award categories, I guess is the word I'm going to look at. So you guys can vote, get your calls in. You have until next week if you want to name some of the ones besides Match of the Year. We want some silly ones, you know, something that we can sink our teeth into and have some conversation about, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Great.
All right.
I said agreed.
you're essentially saying, Mark, wrap this up because your son's got to go to class that you didn't know about until an hour and 13 minutes ago.
So I'm trying to prevent you from having another topic in the Martinez Lounge.
Touche. Guys, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter is all our social medias. CanCrusher69@gmail.com is a way to email us, 814-299-6687, and you'll hear your voice on Can Crusher Nation. I'm sure you'll sound a hell of a lot better than me. Again, I'm going to end it the same way I started it with. If you've never seen IWC, last night's event is one that you need to see. Triple Threat TLC Tag Team Match for the championships. Death, dismemberment, and blood all over the place. IWC Network for only $9.99 a month, and you get 20 years worth of shit, including CM Punk, Wardlow, Britt Baker, and the list can go on. Jenks, thank you for carrying me. My throat is killing me. I have to go get some Ludens.
I always got you, brother. Don't worry about it.
Again, next week we're going to start off with the categories, so make sure you're listening because we're going to announce all the Crushy Award categories and everything. I love you guys. Remember, just because I'm a big pile of trash today, it doesn't mean you can't do great things.
It's a garbage can, not a garbage cannot. Mark, you got this.